Hi, good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be able to join here together in person. And for those who are listening in remotely, it's great that you're here with us as well in that sense. So everyone's welcome and we appreciate you being with us in whatever way you can. We're just regular people from the local area who have come together to meet with God, to express our fellowship in the Lord Jesus and to take our part in the building of his church. We will praise and thank him for his goodness towards us, hear from his holy word and pray for the world and for ourselves. My name's David and I'll be leading our service today as well as leading us in our time of common prayer. Today's music team is Fiona, Rosemary, Linda and Trevor. And Trevor is, of course, reading today's Bible passage and preaching today. And we're also going to be celebrating the Lord's Supper. Today's sermon continues in Acts so that we can be certain of what we've been taught. And today's passage reaches a crescendo with the martyrdom of Stephen. So there's a lot to learn from today's passage and sermon. As the last Sunday in July, we're continuing our focus on special religious education and Anglican school chaplaincy, so I'll be praying for that later in the service together. I'm going to open our time together with a word of prayer, so please pray with me. God, our Father, we pray that the message of your Son will dwell richly among us as we teach and admonish one another with the wisdom you give and sing with thankfulness in our hearts to you. And whatever we do, in word or deed, may it be done in the name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and for his glory. Amen. So let's start our time of fellowship today by singing, Crown Him with Many Crowns. So please stand and let's join in this together. Please be seated. Now, Trevor, are you going to share something with us? I think you're going to share, what's your favourite kids show?
Well, I'll stay there. That'd be first good. My favourite kids show is Bluey. So anyone's got like Bluey or watching Bluey on the ABC? Yeah, in fact, one of my favourite shows that the kids just recently saw with Oliver and Evelyn is the one on Rain. And it ties in a little bit with what we're going to be hearing about from God's Word later on. I hear Bluey is, it's a rainy day, and we've had lots of rainy days recent, and Bluey's trying to stop the rainwater flowing down his pathway down there. And so if you go to the next slide, you know, he tries to stop it and tries to stop it, but it keeps coming and it keeps coming. Nothing seems to stop the flow of the water and the flood. And then finally, the last little one, you know, he kind of gives up and sits on the seat on his step as the water flows past his blockage on there. Eventually in the story, Mum comes to come and help, and the sun comes out, and then the water recedes back again, and then it rains again, and it all flows out, and he let it flow all the way through. That's my favourite shows at the moment.
Oh, fantastic. And just hearing that, I'm one of three boys, and we used to say any flowing water has to be stopped, and any stopped water has to flow. And so it's a bit like that, right? And yeah, so anyway. But Trevor, what are we going to be learning today?
Well, we have come to quite a decisive moment, actually, in the book of Acts. Luke has introduced up to this point how the gospel gets out to all the Gentiles and to the non-Hebrew-speaking Jews who have become Christians. And so that came about through an incident that occurred, a problem in the church. We're introduced to seven Hellenistic or Greek-speaking Jews who have become Christians, of which one we get to hear more about today, and then next week about the other one. So we get to hear about a Christian who's willing to stand up for the gospel and even die for the gospel. So it's a distinctive, you know, quite a distinctive moment there where there's a turning point in there. But we also learn that God doesn't dwell in houses. He's everywhere and can be, and has always been that way of making himself known. Mm. And ultimately, in tying in with the picture of Bluey, of course, is that God's purposes will always prevail. God's desire is for the gospel, the good news about Jesus, how to be friends with him, goes to all the world. That's been God's intent right from the very beginning, and now and forever, until Christ returns, and that all in the world, all of the world, actually hear the gospel, not just a few. Yeah.
Which is good news, because last time I looked, we're a long way from Palestine, so it's even got here. So yeah. It's fantastic,
thanks,
isn't
David.
It? Thanks, Trevor. And so we'll have the kids go out in a moment. I'll just pray for them first before they do so. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you call all of us by name, that no matter how old or young, we can turn to you. We thank you for the children present this morning, for their teachers who teach them, that the time that they have this morning will be a blessing for them. Amen. So thank you. If the children want to go out to Kids Church, and if you want to say hello to the people around you, please, while they do that, thank you. Okay, so as we come back together, let's say this prayer of preparation together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Together. Lord, have mercy on us and write your commandments in our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Let's stand now and join together as God's people gathered today in this place to attest to our common belief. So let's join together in saying the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.
Well, once again, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all, especially those listening in. Thank you for joining us as well this morning. A special welcome to you. Would you please all turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 6, verses 8 through to chapter 7. It's a long read. I won't be reading it to you just yet. I want to do the sermon today because it is a long reading. Stephen basically preaches to you this morning. He tells you the sermon, but I want to do it by way of an introduction and then a conclusion at the end of it all. So turn with me to Acts chapter 6, and you'll find that on page 761 in your pew Bibles. 760 and 761 in your pew Bibles. Or you can follow along on the screen, but it will be available. It would be good to have it in front of you and your Bibles open, for it's too long a reading to actually print out in the handout inside your bulletin this week. Let me pray. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we cannot see you, but you see your people, you know your people, and you stand for those who stand for you. You never leave us nor forsake us, and your purposes will always prevail. Father, help me to teach your word correctly, and may we experience your Spirit guiding us into truth as we read the witness account of those who have been with you, Jesus, seen you alive, heard you, see you die and rise from the dead, ascend to the Father, and have received your Spirit. They spoke your word, and many heard, and passed that message on, that we today, at the ends of the earth, have heard the gospel ourselves. And thank you, Father, for so moving in us to understand it. And if that not be the case in some of us, Lord, who may be listening in, that may we experience your Spirit guiding us into truth and to experience and to know the truth of the gospel, that it's worth dying for. Amen. Well, what I want to do today is simply take you back in time. I think that's the best way to really sort of understand what we're about to listen to this morning. I want you to go back and actually think about actually being there and the time when Stephen gives this address, and to experience actually what it was like being there beside Saul, beside Paul, who actually is the one for whom we understand was able to pass on to Luke this account of Stephen, for he was there listening in. You remember last week that a problem arose within the church, and it reminded us that no church is perfect, that there'll always be problems in the church. But God grants the grace within his church to have the ability to be able to work through that with his help. And so, using God-given priorities, the apostles got the congregation, the church, to actually choose seven people who would help solve the problem. And the problem was that there were Hebraic Jews and widows, and Hellenistic or Greek-speaking Jews, widows, and the Hellenistic Greek-speaking widows. You know, they thought they were being ripped off a little bit from by the Hebraic Jewish Christians that were there. And so, in order for equity of distribution of the common goods or the offerings that went to all, and that all needs were met, the apostles got the congregation to choose seven people, seven men full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, to actually take charge of that administration. And out of those seven men who were Greek-speaking Jews from the Hellenistic group, two were chosen, Stephen and Philip. And it's interesting that Luke actually tells this little story so as to introduce how the gospel now goes to the Gentiles, to those who aren't Jews. And so Stephen is one of them. And so that the apostles could dedicate their time to the preaching of God's word and to prayer, for to add on the extra duties of that would have neglected that primary responsibility. So the proposal was put forward, it was accepted and went forward. And so we get the story now of Stephen. And Stephen, we read here, has now, it's about maybe a year or two down the track since Pentecost. We don't know, we're not told when this story occurred. It certainly wasn't immediately after Pentecost. It would have been some time later. And again, remembering that this account is part of Luke's two book work, Luke and Acts together. And do you remember that it was written to a guy called, do you remember who his name was? Theophilus, that's right, to Theophilus. And from his name, it suggests that he also may have been a Greek-speaking Jew, but certainly he was a dignitary of some sort. And Luke had gained a lot of information from the time when he wrote Luke and Acts from the apostles whom he travelled with on his missionary journeys, to actually report and write down these two books, so that Theophilus, of which is our sermon series for the last so many months, could be certain of the things that he had been taught by the people who had been with the apostles, or the apostles himself, you know, if you heard it from them. But he's wanting to know the certainty. And so Luke is writing with the same reason for that he could be certain of the things that he had been taught, despite what he sees, despite what he hears going on in the world around him. Because you remember, at this point, it's in Jerusalem, and it's in the Middle East there, and the Romans are in control. They're the governing authorities. They're there. They're the world power around the place. And amongst this, there we come and have a focus on the Jewish community and leadership. And amongst this Jewish community and leadership, God has so moved a few in there compared to the majority of them to recognize Jesus to be the Messiah, to be the Savior, their Savior. And they've been born again, they've been empowered with the Spirit to continue Jesus' ministry now and the work in fulfillment of the whole of the Old Testament. But the rest of the Jews, the Jewish leadership in particular, are struggling with this. And there's a clash of authorities. The authority of God moving forward like the flowing of the river, nothing's going to stop. And the authorities thinking about, well, this is what we understand God wants us to be, you know. And Stephen is raised up in a situation to speak to these people, to speak to these Jewish leaders at this time, and brought before them They're finding it really hard, the Jewish authorities, to accept Jesus as the Messiah. We've read all this. You know, they're opposing the message. But some are stopping and listening. And we ended off chapter 6 there. You look there at verse 7. The word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. And a large number of priests, Jewish leaders, were becoming Christians as well. So you can kind of imagine the Jewish authorities at this time, the leaders of the Sanhedrin, and them struggling, but also wanting to put this to an end and continue the status quo. This is the way it's always been and always will be. And so we pick up this story where Stephen is brought before the Sanhedrin. Thanks, David. Now, Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews in Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia, who began to argue with Stephen. But they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. Then they secretly persuaded some men to say, "We've heard Stephen speak blasphemous words about Moses and against God." So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law, and they seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses who testified, "This fellow never stops speaking against this holy place and against the law. For we've heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us." So just breaking away from this reading to start with, we see the situation has arisen. It's over the worship, the temple worship, and it's over God's law, what God's word is saying that God's people should be. And it's very similar to Jesus, isn't it, to how they treated him? Remember, as you look back into Luke's gospel, how they're treating Stephen, the leadership here is how they're treating Jesus in the past. And so the situation is set. Okay, what we're going to read, what Stephen's going to come up and talk about is, well, what has God said in the Old Testament are the actual things to do with the customs of Moses handed down to us. One of the great things about Stephen's sermon here, or Stephen's speech, is that it's a great summary of the Old Testament. If you want to go have a quick walk through the history and of the message of the Old Testament, of what God was doing amongst his people and how the people responded in order to save and rescue his people in the big plan that God has, his only plan, in fact, of saving mankind, this is a great little outline. So listen in carefully to Stephen's sermon as he says it. But firstly, look there at verse 25. All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. How could anybody say that unless they were actually part of the Sanhedrin? All right? And this is what I believe, that this is where Paul later, the apostle, helps Luke in understanding that he was one there standing in this Sanhedrin and listening to Stephen himself. And it's interesting that Paul, I think, tells Luke in writing this down is that his face looked like an angel. Because do you know how important angels were in the Old Testament? You read the beginning of Hebrews, chapters 1 to 3, and you'll see that angels are as God speaking to his people. It's a message that's binding, right? And so I take it Paul is saying here to Luke, write this bit down, right? Because what Stephen is saying is the word of God, and it ought to be heard and ought to be responded to in an appropriate way of standing for it, standing up for it, okay? And so we read on. Then the high priest asked Stephen, "Are these charges true?" To this he replied, "Brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. Leave your country and your people, God said, and go to the land I will show you." So he left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. After the death of his father, God sent him to this land where you are now living. He gave him no inheritance here, not even enough ground to set his foot on. But God promised him that he and his descendants after him would possess the land, even though at that time Abraham had no child. God spoke to him in this way, "For 400 years your descendants will be strangers and in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves," God said, "and afterward they will come out of that country and worship me in this place." Then he gave Abraham the covenant of circumcision. And Abraham became the father of Isaac and circumcised him 8 days after his birth. Later, Isaac became the father of Jacob, and Jacob became the father of the 12 patriarchs. Because the patriarchs were jealous of Joseph, they sold him as a slave into Egypt. But God was with him and rescued him from all his troubles. He gave Joseph wisdom and enabled him to gain the goodwill of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So Pharaoh made him ruler over Egypt and all his palace. Then a famine struck all Egypt and Canaan, bringing great suffering, and our ancestors could not find food. When Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent our forefathers on their first visit. On their second visit, Joseph told his brothers who he was, and Pharaoh learnt about Joseph's family. After this, Joseph sent for his father Jacob and his whole family, 75 in all. Then Jacob went down to Egypt where he and our ancestors died. Their bodies were brought back to Shechem and placed in the tomb that Abraham had bought from the sons of Hamor at Shechem for a certain sum of money. As the time drew near for God to fulfill his promise to Abram, the number of our people in Egypt had greatly increased. Then a new king to whom Joseph meant nothing came into power in Egypt. He dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our ancestors by forcing them to throw out their newborn babies so that they would die. At that time, Moses was born, and he was no ordinary child. For 3 months, he was cared for by his family. When he was placed outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as her own son. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. When Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his own people, the Israelites. He saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian. So he went to his defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. The next day, Moses came up upon 2 Israelites who were fighting. He tried to reconcile them by saying, "Men, you are brothers. Why do you want to hurt each other?" But the man who was mistreating the other pushed Moses aside and said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" When Moses heard this, he fled to Midian, where he settled as a foreigner and had 2 sons. After 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to Moses in the flames of a burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. When he saw this, he was amazed at the sight. As he went over to get a closer look, he heard the Lord say, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Moses trembled with fear and did not dare to look. Then the Lord said to him, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. I have indeed seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and have come down to set them free. Now come, I will send you back to Egypt." This is the same Moses they had rejected with the words, "Who made you ruler and judge?" He was sent to be their ruler and deliverer by God himself through the angel who appeared to him in the bush. He led them out of Egypt and performed wonders and signs in Egypt and the Red Sea and for 40 years in the wilderness. This is the Moses who told the Israelites, "God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people." He was in the assembly in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai and with our ancestors, and he received living words to pass on to us. But our ancestors refused to obey him. Instead, they rejected him and in their hearts turned their back to Egypt. They told Aaron, "Make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who led us out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." That was the time when they made an idol in the form of a calf. They brought sacrifices to it and reveled in what their own hands had made. But God turned away from them and gave them over to the worship of the sun, moon, and stars. This agrees with what is written in the book of the prophets. "Did you bring me sacrifices and offerings 40 years in the wilderness, people of Israel? You have taken up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god Rephan, the idols you made to worship. Therefore, I will send you into exile beyond Babylon." Our ancestors had the tabernacle of the covenant law with them in the wilderness. It had been made as God directed Moses, according to the pattern he had seen. After receiving the tabernacle, our ancestors under Joshua brought it with them when they took the land from the nations God drove out before them. It remained in the land until the time of David, who enjoyed God's favor and asked that he might provide a dwelling place for the God of Jacob. But it was Solomon who built a house for him. However, the Most High does not live in houses made by human hands. As the prophet says, "Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things? You stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your ancestors did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him. You have received the law that was given through angels, but have not obeyed it." When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and they gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, Stephen said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep, and Saul approved of their killing him. You can see it's a decisive moment in the history of the book of Acts and of God's people and their encounter at this point. You see at this point we have the first martyr, Stephen, dies for the belief of the gospel, for what he had been taught. And what we do see here in this point here is that it's the hardness of heart of the Jews to actually receive Jesus as their Messiah and their King, and to see all of it being fulfilled in Jesus. And yet Stephen is allowed to see this. And it's marvellous that we see here that Stephen looks and he says, I see Jesus standing. And it's interesting, the Lord Jesus too has gone and seated at the right hand of the Father, as we said in the Creed, but he stands at this moment as a witness to one who would stand up for him. And Stephen actually makes this claim that Jesus, whom he sees, is the Son of Man, which is a reference to Daniel 7, as the one whom God had given all authority over everything, over all the Jews, over everything, was there standing, vindicating and witnessing to Stephen and his address. And Stephen dies for the sake of the gospel. We don't know if it was Stephen who passed on the message to Theophilus. But you can understand here Theophilus, as he's reading this, thinking, do I believe the Jewish authorities, the traditional people of God's people, the Jews? Or do I believe this group that has been raised up from within them now in fulfillment of this? I've heard from these people, these Christians and the apostles and their teachings, and I believe it, but I have my doubts. You can be certain, Theophilus, you can be certain, brothers and sisters here at Abbotsford, that the things that we have heard from the apostles passed down to us in our written in the scriptures are those for whom know the truth and were willing to die for it. At this moment in the story, Saul is there, and we know later that he's the one who becomes the Apostle Paul, and we read his story in a few weeks' time, and we hear of his conversion. But here is the man now. We're hearing, what we're doing is Luke's reminding us of how the gospel got to you here at Abbotsford in the stages 2,000 odd years ago of it going forth. God's purposes will prevail. The ministry of Jesus is continuing through the work of his Spirit and Word going forth. Those who were witnesses and eyewitnesses to the death and resurrection of Jesus. And so this little account here is reminding us not only we hear of the first person who dies for the gospel, apart from Jesus, of course, who we see the first martyr amongst the Christians who dies for the belief of the truth of the gospel. But we also see that it's a Gentile Jew, you know, who actually is the first one who actually is getting out there and sharing this message. And what we're going to read of next week is a great persecution arises, and the church is forced to go out into all the world to do what Jesus had intended of them to do, and is to take this message to the gospel, to the world, so that the whole world could hear it. I've been challenged as I've thought about this, is that how comfortable I can be, and we all can be, in the comfortableness of our faith, and realizing men like Stephen were willing to die for their faith, die for people knowing about Jesus. And I could do more. We could do more. And we can pray more. And we can certainly invite more. But God's purposes will prevail. He will get his message out. And it will get going and keep going from here. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the life and testimony of Stephen. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we've been reassured that everything that we read about in the Old Testament points to you, Jesus, as the Messiah, the King, the Son of Man, and that your life and death and resurrection and ascension, all that you have done to put us right with yourself, is true. We believe it and can rest in it. But it is also a message not just for us, but a message that you want everyone to hear. And so, Father God, please bring to us people and cause us to go to people around about us, as hard as might be fearful of that, that we can have opportunities to share the gospel with them. And we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
We're going to acknowledge now together the power that God has as our refuge and our strength. So let's stand and acknowledge him with the words of Psalm 71 together. So please stand. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, rescue me and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of those who are evil and cruel. For you have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. So please remain standing, and we're going to sing again in his name.
is God's only plan. I know of war a thousand times to see. My great Redeemer's praises. And over a thousand times to see.
Be seated. I'm going to lead us now in a time of common prayer, so if you'd like to pray with me, please. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Glory to you, O Lord Most High. Almighty and majestic God, we know there is no one who is holy like you. We come before you as your people, humbled and in reverent awe of who you are and that you would want us as your people. Your whole being is holy. Your way is holy. You are right in everything that you do, and we give thanks that because you are holy, we can trust you in a way that we can't trust anyone else. We thank you, Lord God, for bringing us together now and ask that you will hear our prayers. Amen. Saving Father, we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us in the person of your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. We know that he is the way, the truth, and the life. We know that there is no other path to eternal life than through accepting his death and resurrection for us. Lord God, we live in a world that wants to homogenize religions and make them seem all the same. Forgive us when we fall into that same trap. Forgive us when we have not spoken up to be clear on the uniqueness of what you have done for us through Jesus. Give us confidence to know how to speak your truth into a perishing world. We know that you want all to repent and turn to you, so please help us to be your messengers for the people around us. Give us clear insight to know when to speak and what to say. Thank you that your Spirit goes ahead of us and is working in people's hearts and minds to achieve this purpose. Thank you that you are a saving God who wants us to be in a relationship with you and that you have made the way clear for this to happen. Amen. We pray today for the Ukrainian people and ask for your intervention in this senseless war levied against them by Russia. We pray, O God, for protection and that there would be peace. We pray for restoration and renewed hope. We pray for the families, especially the children, living through the horrors of war and all the upheaval and tribulation it brings. We pray for the world community, including the leaders in our own country. Give them wisdom and ingenuity to respond in ways that ends this war and moves us all to a world where your peace abides. Hear the cries of your people, O God. Amen. Almighty Lord and Judge of all, we know that the governing authorities we live under are established by your hand and remain in power thanks to your good provision. It is wonderful to live in a society where we have peaceful and democratically elected officials, and we bring before you the New South Wales State Government led by Dominic Perrottet and the opposition led by Christopher Minns. Please help all our political leaders to seek wise counsel and look to provide leadership and make decisions that are from a deep sense of their duty and not just from their own side of politics. Help them to have courage and to seek your guidance. Thank you for all of us, for all who serve us in our state legislature, and we ask that you will be with them as they do their jobs professionally and well. Amen. Lord Jesus, our Saviour, we thank you for the opportunity to make you known in schools across the state and for the work done by scripture teachers and school chaplains in a wide range of schools. We thank you for the way this creates a connection between local churches and schools and ask that you will help to make these relationships strong and positive as ways for the church to be able to help and be involved in the life of their local communities. In our local area, we thank you especially for Trevor and Fiona and the work they do in the local public schools. Please give them wisdom and insight into how to reveal your word and your love for the students in their care. Give them patience and strength for when that is needed for standing in front of their class. We thank you for the students who attend Scripture. Please open their hearts and minds to not just be hearers of your word, but doers also. We ask that by your Spirit you'll be growing them in their knowledge and love of you and how that changes them and their lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you do in this part of your kingdom. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks for this parish. We ask that you will be with us as a congregation so that we may conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. Help us to stand firm together and to be striving together as one. Help us to be united so that we will value each other and look to each other's interests. Heavenly Father, we also have people who have special needs at this time. Lord, please give them peace and comfort and the confidence to trust in you for their needs. Heavenly Father, we turn to you, trusting that in your mercy, you will uphold and provide for them at this time. Amen. Amen. And let's join together in the set prayer for the day. Let us pray that the gospel may be the rule of our life. God, our Father, your light of truth guides us in the way of Christ. May all who follow him reject what is contrary to the gospel. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. Lord, our Father, we bring all these matters and others on our hearts to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, we who come now to receive the Holy Communion of the body and blood of our Saviour Christ can come only because of his great love for us. For although we are completely undeserving of his love, yet in order to raise us from the darkness of death to everlasting life as God's sons and daughters, our Saviour Christ humbled himself to share our life and to die for us on the cross. In remembrance of his death and as a pledge of his love, Jesus instituted this holy sacrament which we are now to share. If you've not yet received an individual cup with a piece of wafer in it and the cup there, please, Jeff is just handing them around to you now that you may take of one. I'll give you a chance just to undo the top part of the cup in order to get ready to take the wafer out. Thanks, Jeff. Those who would eat the bread and drink the cup of the Lord, we must at this moment examine ourselves and amend our lives. We must come with a repentant heart and a steadfast faith. Above all, we must give thanks to God for his love towards us in Christ Jesus. So you then who truly repent of your sins and are reconciled with others, intending to lead a new life of joyful obedience to God, let's draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to strengthen and sustain us. But first, let us make a humble confession of our sins to Almighty God. Together. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you made all things, and you call everyone to account. With shame we confess the sins we have committed against you, in thought, word, and deed. We rightly deserve your condemnation. We turn from our sins and are truly sorry for them. They are a burden we cannot bear. Have mercy on us, most merciful Father. For the sake of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us all that is past. Enable us to serve and please you in newness of life, to your honour and glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who has promised to forgive the sins of all who turn to him with repentance and faith, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, strengthen you to do his will, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the words of assurance for those who truly turn to Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Lift up your hearts, we lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. He is worthy of all praise. Always and everywhere it is right for us to praise you, Lord, Holy Father, mighty Creator, and eternal God. Therefore, with all those gathered around your throne in heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name in words of never-ending praises. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Glory to you, Lord Most High. Let us pray. We do not presume to come to your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your many and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. We do thank you, our Heavenly Father, that in your love and mercy, you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our salvation. By this offering of himself once and for all time, Jesus made a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, and commanded us to continue a remembrance of his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, merciful Father, and grant that we who receive these gifts of your creation, this bread and this wine, according to our Saviour's command, in remembrance of his suffering and death, may be partakers of his body and blood. On the night before he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. And when he had given you thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat it, in remembrance of me." Let's take a moment now to take of the bread in remembrance. body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for you, preserve your body and soul unto everlasting life. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed upon him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In the same way, after the meal, Jesus took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's take of the drink. Blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for you, preserve your life unto everlasting life. Take and drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let us pray. As our Saviour Christ has taught us, we are confident to say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Lord and Heavenly Father, in your loving kindness, accept our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Grant that by the merits and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and your whole church may receive forgiveness of our sins and all other benefits of his suffering. With gratitude for all your mercies, we offer ourselves to you as a living sacrifice. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, together, send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Amen.
So a number of things to draw everyone's attention to. The first one is that we're up to refreshing the church rosters. So if you could please pass that information back to Janice and she can put it together. If you'd like to go on a roster and you're not currently on one, have a chat with Janice. Oh, they have been released. I beg your pardon. Sorry, they have been released. So if you want to go on a roster, you'll have to fight your way in now. There's always room. There are ways in no matter what. A reminder that the One Love Conference is coming up on Saturday the 20th of August for the women. That's a women's conference. The topic is running on empty, and I think the idea is that at this time there's a lot of people who feel overstretched, and so it's actually a reminder that God works through that time and works through even empty vessels. So it's not something that God can't use to his benefit. So if you'd like to attend, you can go in person into the town hall or meet here at the church. And Karen's got a sign-up sheet for that at the back, and I'm sure she'd love to talk to you about it as well. And if you need help registering, she can do that for you as well. In terms of prayer as a church, tomorrow night we have our monthly prayer meeting. So that's in the church foyer at 7 o'clock. And it's lovely as part of our fellowship together to be able to join as well in prayer on that monthly basis. So please encourage you all to put that into your lives and join us for that time of fellowship, further fellowship together. And in terms of personal prayer, if you'd like personal prayer for anything that you'd like that for after the service, Dick and Fiona will be available at the front of the church afterwards for you. So thank you everyone for your financial giving towards the parish. Of course, parishes like ours only run off what we each contribute to it in terms of the financial upkeep of the work that's done here and for Trevor and Karen. If you give electronically, thank you for that. Otherwise, there's a box at the back if you want to still give through that means as well. And as we all know, COVID is still a very real thing, so thank you everyone who's still wearing their masks indoors as well. But let's maintain our love and care for each other through that protection. And so when you get your morning tea, if you head outside, that's just a nice way for us to continue to show care for each other in that way too. So thank you all. And now as we finish our service together, we can come before God's throne and recognise Jesus, the risen Lamb, our perfect spotless righteousness. So let's stand and sing before the throne of God above. Please stand. Please remain standing and let's say this together. Father, take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a wonderful week ahead. Thank you.